I fixed Jimbo his cheeseburger and was wiping the counter when I saw a group of men heading down the ramp from the parking lot. I thought I recognized one of them from the way he walked, but I couldn't place him. I got a pack of burgers from the freezer and put some on the grill. I was sure that some of that crew would order burgers and fries. I also threw on a couple of ribeye steaks. From the polo shirts and khaki slacks, those guys looked like steak eaters to me. I put some frozen French fries in a deep fryer and didn't really pay much attention to the men as they entered the marina store. Then I heard someone say, "Miss, can I get a couple of lemonades, please?" I turned around. Daniel Ransom was staring at me from the other side of the counter. He was wearing a light blue t-shirt and khaki shorts. "Chef Ransom?" "Daniel," he said. "When the uniform comes off, so does the title. I'm just plain Daniel right now." "I didn't know you without your uniform." He smiled. "That's the trouble about wearing one. Nobody knows you when you put on your real clothes." He looked me over from head to toe, making me uncomfortable. He made no pretense. He was sizing me up. I didn't know what to make of it. "So," he said, "is this your uniform?" I frowned, "unfortunately." He laughed. "It's nice. You look like you should be hanging leis around our necks and saying, 'Welcome to Hawaii.'" "I only wish," I said. "See, told you not to change," Jimbo cut in. I whirled around. "Jimbo, ain't you got a motor to fix or something?" "Motor will be there when I'm ready. Right now I'm eating. I do get supper breaks once a week, you know." He grinned like an imp, his mouth full of burger and bread. I fixed Daniel Ransom's drinks and set them on the counter. "Are you on vacation?" No, I'm just here for the weekend. In fact, me and the boys, old college pals, are going to do some fishing. We've rented one of your boats." Richard Stikes walked out of the marina store. I hadn't seen him come back in from the dock, so he must have walked past when I had my back turned. "Jimbo, I need you to take a look at the generator on boat 67. It kicks off every time they turn on the air conditioner." Jimbo downed his drink. "Put the rest of my burger in the warmer, Cupcake. I'll be back." Richard Stikes shook hands with Daniel Ransom, and the two of them walked down the dock a piece, talking. I wondered what they were palling around for. I put Jimbo's order in the warmer. Those guys that had come down the ramp with Daniel came out, 5 of them, and placed orders. I put their orders on and was pouring their drinks when Richard and Daniel came back over to the bar. Richard placed both elbows on the bar, stared at me, and grinned. He did that sometimes when he was up to something. "What, boss?" I said. He shook his head. "I swear, Cupcake, your hair looks dark, but I know there's blonde roots in there somewhere." I did not like him to imply that I was ditzy. "I ain't psychic," I said. "This man's rented the Caribbean Song for the weekend. I'll get Annie or Kimmy out here to cook. I want you to do a walkthrough. Now go get the key and take this fellow down to Dock 310. I set down the drink bottles and rushed into the store. We kept the keys hanging in a small room behind the front counter. I retrieved the key. All the while, I couldn't get my mind around the fact that Daniel Ransom was renting one of our boats. I grabbed a clipboard and a checkout sheet attached with a pen, and then I headed out. I don't know why it bothered me to have Daniel Ransom see me dressed in that little waitress outfit, and I don't know why it troubled me that he knew I scrubbed toilets and mopped floors for a living, but it did. Now here I was, walking across the dock with him, clipboard in my hand, showing him a boat, like I did all the other highfalutin customers each weekend. I attempted to sound as professional as I could as we stepped on board the deck. "Here are your mooring lines," I said. "You have a life ring hanging by the door there, and your deck furniture is bolted down. We can fill your ice chest for an extra $25, and your fire extinguisher is mounted there beside the life ring. Now come on inside, and I'll show you how to work the ship's radio and where the life jackets are located." After I had finished going through the boat with him, showing him where everything was and how to use it, I had Daniel follow me to the top deck, and I showed him the hot tub. We stood there putting our hands under the cover to feel the temperature of the water. The warm wind smelled of the river, and a goonie bird swooped by. The greenish water rippled in the breeze and lapped against the dock. "It's so beautiful here," Daniel said. "You must love working here." "Sometimes," I said. "I really like the solitude in the early mornings and at night." "Say, what time do you get off work?"
"About 7 or 8, depending on the crowd."
"Why?"
"Well, my friends and I, those guys over at the marina, have a little party going. A small get-together. You know, a little beer and some music. Why don't you come over and join us before you head home?"
I shrugged. "I don't know. It'll make me awfully late getting home." "Look, you're going to be here late anyway. 1 hour won't make so much difference. Besides, I promise you'll have a great time."
"I'm not much for parties," I said. I didn't dare say that I had never been to any kind of a party that wasn't attached to a niece or nephew's birthday. "And I don't drink beer," I added. "It tastes like pee."
"You can have a soda or a lemonade, and it's nothing big," he said. I fidgeted with my hands. My mind told me to stay away from him. I didn't like myself around this guy. "Well, Bob is used to me having to work late during the summer."
"Okay, but I can't call Bob and ask him," he said. "Invite him to come on, too. I'd love to meet him." My face must have looked terror-stricken because he said, "Are you okay? You look like you don't feel well."
"I'm fine," I said. No way would Bob come to this guy's party. Bob would not like him. He would not like his boat or his cell phone or his handsome face. He would not like his smile or his friendly attitude. No, Bob and Daniel Ransom would not mix at all. That would be like fire and water.
"So are you coming? And are you going to call Bob?"
"I can't call Bob," I said. "He doesn't like parties."
"Then you can just come on by for a little while," he said.
"I promise. My guests will behave themselves. Bring one of the girls from the marina with you, or your boss, or Jimbo if you don't want to come along. Shoot, bring all of them if you want to."
I looked at him, then thought that when I got home, Bob would be asleep anyway. He was used to me working late during the summer. Besides, I never said a word when he went to his militia event, so it only seemed fair that I could go to a customer's party.
"Well, I guess I could stay an hour or so," I said.
He smiled. "Let's get back over there and finish the paperwork on this thing so I can put the captain's hat on." I grinned. "We don't provide those. Figure of speech," he said. I don't know why the thought of going to Daniel Ransom's little boat party excited me, but it did. It also frightened me. I thought about going back over there and telling him I had changed my mind. I would tell him that I needed to fix Bob's supper, but that was a lie. I had cooked extra pork chops the night before, and all Bob had to do was reheat them. He was used to doing that on weekends because he knew I worked late. Tonight was no different. So I told myself that I was going to that party because I worked hard and I deserved a treat once in a while. A moment away from cooking and cleaning and laundry, and even away from taking care of Great Uncle Fawcett. I started through the marina store where Annie was counting down the cash register. She looked up. "Cake, you really do look great in that dress, and the makeup looks real nice on you. You should wear it more often. Reckon Bob will get mad when he sees you in that dress, or reckon he'll want to get on your good side."
"He probably won't say much," I said. I didn't dare tell her that Bob would never know because I would change before he saw me, and besides, he'd probably be asleep when I got home.
I've been invited over to the Caribbean Song. They're having a little party, Annie. You want to come?"
"I don't want to go by myself."
She dropped the money back into the drawer.
"You're kidding. You going to a party? Well, hallelujah, it is about time."
I laughed and shook my head.
"Isn't that the boat that all those nice-looking guys rented?"
"There will be some women there, too," I said.
"Good heavens, I hope not," Annie giggled. "It's that sheriff, isn't he? He's the one that invited you. Jimbo told me about it."
"Girl, I want to squeeze them cute little buns of his. You going to introduce me?"
"Annie," I said, "he's a friend, an acquaintance, so behave yourself."
She pushed the register drawer shut, took her purse from under the counter and slung it over her shoulder.
"I'll try. But I don't know if I can, sugar. I swear, if I get a little liquor in me, I might have to
pinch some of that pretty little man.